Welcome to the Care Deeply podcast. I'm your host, Elon Morris. On today's episode of the podcast, I'll be chatting with Brittany Cole, founder of Career Thrivers. Career Thrivers is an organization that educates, empowers, and equips organizations to build inclusive leadership teams at every level. Brittany is passionate about helping women and professionals of color elevate their career by sharpening their emotional intelligence, resilience, and personal brand in the workplace. She's a coach, a marketer, and a dear friend who knows a thing or two about recovering from deep loss.
So my name is Brittany Cole. I am the founder of Career Thrivers. And essentially what that means for me is that I absolutely love helping people go from where they are to where they want to be. So I do work technically in the leadership development space, but I get to do coaching, really working with women, helping them with personal branding, how they show up, being confident, being really just owning who they want to be and going after it, and also work with organizations helping them to develop and retain diverse talent. So that's a little bit about me chatting with you from Nashville, Tennessee, my hometown.
That's so cool. I love that. I love the name Career Thrivers, right? Because it really speaks to thriving at something as opposed to, I don't know, what we're doing right now currently in our society. But tell me a little bit about, because I, you know, you've launched this kind of great resource and this great organization for is it women only? Do you have men that join you?
So I have done some coaching with men. So we're inclusive for sure. But primarily, most of my coaching clients are women.
Sent me a message. You know, saying like, hey, Yolande, I have a friend, her name is Brittany. She's gonna be moving to the New York area because we both worked for the same company. And we actually, all of us worked for the same company. And you know, she's like, she's moving to New York. I think you guys would really hit it off. Little did we know.
Chanel, you were right, girl.
Brittany, you have literally been such, I'm gonna call it a lifeline, right? In just so many ways, and really just like a part of the Witt & Grace family, because you stepped into my life in 2017 when I was getting ready to launch Witt & Grace. You not only showed up, like you showed up for the launch, but you brought friends with you. You brought people from out of town who have even met me, but you brought them to the launch. And ever since then, you've been such an integral part of just Witt & Grace, like not just a supporter, but a stylist when you needed to be one. You are literally like the definition.
Fun times.
You are literally the definition. And I know like the Proverbs 31 woman gets like a bad rap these days. Like they, you know, a lot of people are out here saying that she's doing too much. But I appreciate someone who not only is stylish, but makes her own, you know, like you do, you just like are a creator and you are creative. So just wanted to shout you out for that. But obviously, you know, it was a different time in our lives 3 years ago. And some really big things have happened in your life since then. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. Well, one, please know that the feeling is mutual. So for me, 2017 was just a roller coaster of a year. Like you mentioned, I was working in sales and looking forward to making the transition into marketing. That's a whole story in and of itself, but landed an opportunity, and my husband and I were planning to move from Chattanooga to New York and made that move in the end of February of 2017. And yeah, Chanel did the same thing, reached out. She's like, hey, you've got to meet Yolande. You'll love her. I remember I knew who you were from a WebEx training that we had done at work. So I'm like, okay, yeah, I do remember her. And I do remember thinking, oh, there's another brown sister and I've not met her yet. like, let me find her.
Everyone.
Right. I'm like, oh, okay. Oh, where is she located? So I remember having that thought. And then when Chanel reached out, I'm like, oh, that's the same woman. Like, this is perfect. And definitely the feeling is mutual, because I moved to New York from Chattanooga into February of 2017. And in that same year, of me just really putting my all into this new role, you know how it is in corporate, you got to show up, show out. And sometimes as Black woman, you have to be twice as good to get half as much. We know that feeling sometimes is out there as well. And so, you know, I'm just really in this space of really showing up and really being excited about the work, because it was the first time I had done marketing. I'd wanted to do it for years. A lot went into making the decision to relocate and just really make that opportunity happen for me. Family was 110% supportive. My husband moved up 6 months before to secure, you know, a great opportunity there for him. He's an architect. And so we just made it happen after a lot of challenge getting to that place. And we're there, I'm excited. And 3 months later, out of nowhere, would have never in a million years thought would be the case, my mom passed unexpectedly. And I was at work when I got the news, when it happened, and just the process of coming back to work after that, I can definitely say that if it wasn't for you and a handful of people that work at our organization, I am positive. I am positive. I would have been out of there that year. I mean, it was really, really tough to come back to New York, and really, really tough to come back to work, because a large part of just my healing process through grief and through losing my mother was really tied to, quite transparently, the guilt of, you know, did I put this opportunity and working and moving to New York and having this dream career in front of actually being present and being there with my mother? How did I miss that she was, you know, this ill? And then just to not be there when it happened, because we were so, so close. Like, I'm sitting at my desk now and I'm looking at a picture of us. We did so much together. But yeah, having people like you there in New York to just really help me and at work was such a tremendous blessing. So just know that the feeling is mutual. But that was my 2017. And like you mentioned, like, we met that year, and, you know, to just have your friendship and your sisterhood and truly your care through that time, I mean, meant the world to me, for sure. So that's a little bit about, I guess, my thoughts in terms of our meeting in just 3 years ago, where I was.
And, you know, you brought up your mom, and, you know, I never got to meet your mom, but just through everything that you've posted on social media about her, she just seems like such an incredible woman. And, you know, can you just tell us a little bit about her? Like, just what made her, and kind of, you know, I know that you have a lot of kind of traits and things that you've also taken from her.
Yeah, wow. Well, so many things come to mind, Yolan. I think one of the first thoughts is just, she was such a strong woman of faith. She was just remarkable in how much she served others. I was sharing earlier this week about my grandmother living with me and just being very well acquainted to Alzheimer's patients. I was talking to a friend who's going through that right now, and I'm like, wow, like, my mother helped take care of my father's mom, her mom, her great aunt, and her great cousin, who all had some illness, and they lived with us. So, you know, I really grew up watching her really pour herself into helping other people to be better, and do that while also, you know, working really hard. She was in sales. We definitely had that in common. And then she moved in to social work, really being a major player in kind of the workforce development space. And so it's just so funny, even sharing this with you now, I'm like, is history repeating itself, you know, in terms of just my own journey from like, I'm kind of like on that same trajectory, doing some things here, you know, in that same space now. Of course, it's more so career coaching, but, you know, I definitely can see myself, you know, getting into workforce development. So it's just so interesting. But yeah, when I think about the Proverbs 31 woman, I definitely think of my mother, like serving a woman of faith. My dad's a pastor. Like if he was at church, she was at church. And so she was just an incredible woman. And as I grew up into womanhood, just being able to have that relationship kind of shift and change into like a really deep friendship. I can remember the first big award that I won from our company, you know, sales, you know, you do great, you go on the trip. And it was my first trip to Maui. And I remember I was dating my now husband at the time, and he was just grinning. I'm like, sir, no, I'm taking my mom. My mother and I are going to Maui. So we traveled together. We did girls trips with her best friend and her daughter. I mean, she was everything to me. So yeah, we had a really great relationship.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So obviously, as you mentioned, your mom was, you know, everything to you. So how were you able to go back to work and even thrive at work after something like that?
Yeah, I definitely know that it was through much prayer, and not just, you know, prayers that I was praying, but the prayers of others. And also, you know, the support and care of people around me, you know, people that would, you know, send a text message or, you know, even at work, come by my office and say, hey, I'm just thinking about you. You know, is there anything that I can, you know, help to maybe take off your plate? People like you, you know, say, hey, girl, let's go get lunch. Haven't seen you this week. Like just all of those small moments. And I think that is something relative to, you know, people that are experiencing loss. And we're in a space right now where I think everyone in some shape or form are experiencing some kind of loss through this pandemic, whether it's, you know, the loss of a loved one or even the loss of just your daily routine and what was normal to you. I think so often when you kind of first go through that process, there's this shock and like people just want to jump to be able to help and serve in a way that they feel is big. But sometimes for the person that's actually experiencing the loss, it's less about like the immediacy of support and, you know, big acts of care, but more so like those consistent small things, those small moments where you send that text and it just happens to be just in that moment that, you know, the person is like really down. And I know I experienced that. I shared a story recently about my mom and I would talk on the phone sometimes throughout the day. Like she would call me, especially when I moved up to New York, when I was in sales, like she would call 2 to 3 times a day. So we spent so much time in the car. But, listen, I'm like, mom, I can't talk right now. So you know, I would have those moments, but after she passed, I would have those moments where I'd be in the office and just like, I'd be preparing for a meeting. And grief is, it is the most complex an unpredictable emotion that I believe you'll ever experience. Because I can remember, you know, working on a presentation. I'm, you know, 20 minutes from going in with my VP to present a project that I'm working on. And just for some reason, I glance over at the phone and my mind goes to like, literally, you know, longing to see her name and number pop up on that caller ID, and that could send me, you know, and then someone walks in, hey, you know, just stopping by, just thinking of you, just wanted to stop by and say hello. And just that moment, just that brings you back. And it was those little things of having people that were just thoughtful and acted on those moments that really helped to sustain me, you know, especially that year of coming back and having to just really recalibrate. I'll also say, in addition to prayer and people caring, therapy, I started going to therapy, and you know, I know oftentimes there are cultural beliefs and thoughts, and even relative to, you know, being a woman of faith, where people feel like, oh, you know, just pray about it. And I'm like, I'm doing that. And I also need, you know, to be able to talk about it in a space that is neutral, in a space where, you know, I don't feel like, you know, I'm being judged for sharing how I am really feeling, my real human feelings, that may be in competition with the head knowledge of my faith. You know, I'm still transformed by the renewing of my mind, but my heart hurts. So I need to talk about this heart hurt while I'm still reading this word, and God's word is still, and His Holy Spirit is still working on me, but I still have this need, you know, to have, you know, this conversation and really talk through what I'm experiencing. So yeah, I started going to therapy, and that helped as well.
Yeah, and one thing that I love about you always, Brittany, is that you've always been transparent throughout the process, you know, that even on social media, you would say like, it hurts right now, or this is what I'm feeling, right? Mm-hmm. And so that helps, I think, others around you to kind of, okay, you know, this is a call to pray. This is a call for, you know, just surrounding you, you know, back when we could give people hugs.
yeah,
like this is kind of like a moment to like reach out and even give a virtual hug through a phone call or a text message. You know, it's those kind of moments. So transparency is definitely key in kind of going through it, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I would add to that, I think that, you know, one of the big things that I've learned just through this is that we really have, you know, resilience in terms of just what we think about people being resilient. And I can remember even people, you know, coming up to me even after coming back to work, I'm like, oh my gosh, you're so strong. Or how did you, I can remember a speaking engagement that I had shortly after my mom passed, maybe 6 or 7 months. I got an invitation to come do a woman's day. And I just felt just like, okay, I can do this. And the topic was actually on the Proverbs 31 woman, but I really felt God leading me to share and open up about just my grief process. And I'm like, I don't feel ready for this. Like, I don't, you know, I don't know that I can like talk through this and like actually like get through what you would have me to share. And I remember doing it, and just so many women being like, oh my God, I can't believe that you know, how did you do that? You're so strong, you bounce back. And just, I'm like, oh gosh, like people really have this sense that like, when you experience loss, the sign of your strength or your ability to move forward is in you appearing that you are back to the same place that you were. But I'm not back at the same place that I was. I'll never be back at that same place. And so I feel like part of just the need to be transparent is also the need to kind of reframe the conversation around loss, to reframe the conversation around resilience, that it's not about this pseudo strength that you're able to bounce back to this former state prior to the loss. No, deep loss changes you. And it changes you in a way that you can decide how you're going to move forward. Either you're going to thrive through what you've experienced and extrapolate the learnings from it and do the work to move forward in a positive way, or you're going to let it crumble you. But I don't necessarily believe that it's about showing that you've got this cape on and that it hasn't affected you because you bounced back to this former state. And so part of me, you know, just really feeling led to share and just open up more about my own journey is really around helping people to really reconsider what we call resilience, and recognizing that when people open up and share their hurt, they're not weak. They're not showing a lack of strength. In fact, it's the opposite. They're actually stronger by sharing where they are and the hurt that they feel versus suppressing it so that you believe that they're actually quote unquote strong, you know? And so I think that happens so often with people that are grieving, particularly, and I love the Lord and I love His people, but you know, sometimes church folks can be the worst, you know, when it comes to that. I'm like, hey, you know, I'm just sharing my experience. I'm just talking about me. You know, it's like, I know what the word says, but are you going to hear me through what I'm feeling? are you going to let me get that part out? And I think we sometimes do a disservice, you know, particularly in terms of like, let's think about how Christ navigated, you know, people's challenges and people's hurt and people's heart. Like he wasn't like, this is what the law says, this is what the word says. Like, he met people where they were, which means allowing space and grace for people to communicate all that they are feeling, and not feeling like you have the solution to pull them out of that place before you sat with them in it. So that's really, you know, on my heart in this season, especially, you know, to share even more and really kind of help people to give language to how we can be better support for one another.
Amen. And as I've mentioned, you are such a huge support system for me and for so many people around you. And so thank you, Brittany, for just who you are. Obviously, you know, losing your mom is a traumatic experience, but you went back to work. You really great marketer. And then, you know, so this is like a year passes, 2 years, and then something else happens in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I feel like I'm back on the saddle. I'm like, okay, we're here. We're in New York. My husband and I, you know, we're like, we're going to make the best of living in the greatest city in the world. You know, we're in the Big Apple. Let's, you know, experience everything and let's really enjoy our time here. And so we were in that space. So this is, I guess, 2019. And we are looking to move from the Upper East Side to Brooklyn. Shout out to Williamsburg. And right before we make a decision on an apartment there, I get an opportunity to come back to Nashville to lead a sales team. So I'm like, okay, Lord, this wasn't the timing that I thought. I thought we'd be here for another year or so, but this sounds like a great opportunity. So we decided to take it. My husband, you know, immediately resigned because the process moved so quickly. My husband immediately resigned from his firm, started looking for opportunities in Nashville, lands an opportunity in Nashville rather quickly. So we're back and forth between Nashville and New York for about a month. And so this is around October of 2018. So this is 2018. So I make this transition back to Nashville and I'm working in this management role, leading this amazing team of 12 awesome sales professionals, and maybe 2 weeks into the role and I'm told, well, actually this role isn't going to be a year and a half or a year like we thought. It's going to be 5 months. So I'm like, okay. Okay, so this role is going to be up the end of March, but you know, we'll be working with you and helping you kind of, you know, look and find something else. So I'm in this again kind of space where, okay, here comes another transition. But I can remember feeling initially like, okay, like, Lord, this did not catch you by surprise. You are in control. I know you have something for me. So I am going to focus on what I can control, which is leading this team, learning, getting better at what I'm doing every day, and really making sure that I'm showing up for my team, because at the same time, the organization is going through organizational change as well. So I'm all in, and maybe a week later, I get a call and I'm in a meeting where I'm told my role that I was in, actually my full-time position that I could have gone back to in some capacity, would be ending the end of 2018. So now I'm like, okay. So I'm technically in a layoff wave. I'm in a role that ends, you know, in 3 months, the end of March of 2019. You know, what am I going to do? And I really struggled with that decision. I really struggled with, you know, what does this look like? Do I, you know, just take something to stay? Do I create an opportunity that isn't here, but that's needed? Or do I really go after what I've always wanted to do and what I have really kind of put in a space of like, oh, I'll get to that, or it's coming, or I'll grow to that, or I don't have exactly what I need to do that. And so I ended up making the decision to take the leap and really jump, you know, all the way into coaching and consulting and speaking, which I'd been doing on the side when I had, you know, time to do it, as side hustling. But I saw this as an opportunity to really leap into that space full time. And so I spent last year rebranding my business. I actually started out in entrepreneurship doing image consulting and helping leaders with their look and to level up and feel more confident in how they showed up so that they could, you know, reach those opportunities that they were looking for. And that kind of organically pivoted into, okay, while we're in the dressing room or while you're in my walk-in closet, can you look at my resume? And I'm like, oh, okay, perhaps I should get into career coaching. So that's kind of how that transition happened. But I made the decision, and I think I tell clients this all the time, that, you know, you can feel like you're in a place of, and I've learned this even through just my own career experiences, but it's like, oh, you know, I could go down this path or that path, and I feel torn about which one to do. And I think, you know, obviously as believers, you pray about it and you hear from the Lord. And then you also have to make a decision, right? He leaves a decision up to us. And it is in the decision-making that we become more clear about our next step. A double mind is unstable in all of its ways. Like that's what the word says. So if you are going back and forth between, oh, you know, I'm not clear, I don't know, you're not clear because you haven't made a decision. Once you make a decision, it will clear up so much for you. And that was my experience. After I made the decision, I'm like, okay, there's a lot going on here. And I know you know, but there was a lot going on. I'm like, okay, Lord, this is not it. Like, this cannot be what you have for me.
I found out about something before you did. And I'm like, Brittany, did you know that your name is being thrown around for this?
It was a hot mess. I'm like, hold on, wait. You heard what? You heard that? No one's communicated that to me. So please tell me what you heard about me so I can be in the loop. I'm like, Lord, you are not the author of confusion.
Not at all.
A lot of confusion happening. So, and I really felt, you know, I was clear on what he had spoken before. But again, you go through that, I don't think that I'm ready. Again, all of the self-doubt and the, you know, what my coach calls, you know, little me. And, oh, am I really ready? Or can I really do it? Or do I have enough? Do I, you know, I need this. I don't have that. You know, we go through all of that. But it's like, listen, make the decision and I'll provide the provision. But I need you to move toward what I've shown you already. I don't need you to figure out how to get there. I need you to make the decision to say yes to this. And then I'll provide the next. And that's what he's done. I mean, listen, when we talk about Ephesians 3:20, like the last year has been exceedingly and abundantly above all that I could have asked or thought this time last year, you know, as a result of making that decision and God just being so merciful and so gracious. And so it's been great. I love what I get to do, even in the space that we're in of pivoting now and not doing as much speaking. I'm grateful for opportunities like this to do more podcast shows. And so I really am having a blast.
And that's amazing, you know, and I think that to your point, like, you were set up for a step up, right? Like, because you had already been doing this as like a side hustle. So it wasn't like you were caught on a, you know, without any kind of backup plan or any kind of like skill or thinking like, what do I want to do? You had been doing it all along. But it's still not always easy, right? So what does a typical day now look like for you?
Yeah, it's definitely not, you know, follow the yellow brick road after you make a decision, right? It's like, okay, sometimes it feels like, okay, this is a bit of a detour. But so a typical day for me, so I work from home, and then before all of this newness, in a co-working space here in Nashville, our Nashville Entrepreneur Center, which is a hub for business owners, and it's truly been a great resource for me. So typically I have days that I schedule coaching calls, and days that I schedule more of like content and curriculum development, and then in between that are speaking opportunities. So now a typical day for me, let's see, so I'll take yesterday for example. Yesterday I had 3 one-on-one coaching strategy calls. So at 2 in the morning, 1 in the mid-afternoon, I did a podcast episode similar to this, and I connected with a community of business owners and entrepreneurs that I know through my coach, Marshawn Evans Daniels. And so it's usually some mix of coaching clients, working on the business. And so I'm in the process of launching a course to really help more people through just really doing the work to really understand, you know, what do I value? Like, what are my skills? What do I want to be known for? What's my sweet spot? What is my area of expertise? So doing work like that, and then also community. And I try to make sure that community is an intentional part of my day, whether it's a call that's actually set on the calendar like yesterday, where it's like, okay, 15 of us are going to get together and just share where we are, how we're pivoting, how we're dealing with business during this time, or if it's just specifically having a name on my schedule, say I'm reaching out to this person this day to check in and catch up. I think it's so important, particularly when you are a solopreneur, you don't have a full team yet, because it can feel so isolating. It can feel like, oh my gosh, I've got, you know, 50 things to do and they all need to get done today. I don't have time to talk to anyone. And I think that can be counterproductive, because there's so much that you gain by just having community and being really intentional around cultivating your relationships. I know, like, as a result, yesterday, I shared with the group of women that I was talking to that I'm reading this book right now called Million Dollar Consulting by Alan Wise. And they were like, oh my gosh, I was just sharing with them like all of the insights that I've gained from this book. And as I'm talking to them, and they're like, oh, tell me more. Okay, put the title and the author in the chat. And I'm like, we can just do a book club. I'm like, do y'all want to do a book club? They're like, oh my gosh, yes. So we like launched this book club last night that will further, you know, help to cultivate our community. And so I try to be really intentional around that every day. So that's my typical day. Clients, business development or business improvement, and then community and connection.
So that's amazing. You are always, like, as I said, like creative and coming up with new ideas and new ways of just reaching people. So especially now at a time where so many people are at home, I think there was a statistic that said the highest number of people ever, I think it was over 3 million when I last checked, have filed for unemployment, right? So we are possibly heading for a recession. There's so much doom and gloom when it comes to like the class of 2020, that they might not have jobs when they graduate. They might not even have most of them are not even going to have a graduation, right? Let's leave that there. But how do we thrive in this kind of new normal, in this environment? Like, what advice would you give to folks?
Yeah, so again, I think about this through this lens of really, you know, redefining what it means to be resilient. And so I think it starts with accepting where we are. And so I think there is, you know, oftentimes this need to want to look at where we've been and what we had and what we used to do and what we're used to. But I think in doing that and missing those elements, we also have to do the work to understand, okay, where am I now? Let me acknowledge where I am now and really ensure that I am clear on what opportunities are around me through that acknowledgement. And so I would say that that's first, like, where are you right now? Second, I would say really being intentional around thinking about where it is that you want to be, whether that is, you know, perhaps starting a business and monetizing your expertise or working at a company. I think that it's really critical to have a vision for where it is that you want to go. And then I think the step in between that, especially in the time and space that we are in, is being intentional around cultivating the community that's going to help you get there. And it may look untraditional. It may look like, for example, I was sharing this last night as well, you know, it's one thing to have a business and to talk about being an entrepreneur. I think it's something totally different to really be intentional around being a business owner. And oftentimes that means you're collaborating with other entrepreneurs. And so how can we really help to support one another towards where it is that we want to go? But I think that starts with, like I mentioned, acknowledging where you are, but then also having a vision for where you want to go. Because it's so easy to, in times like this, to just scrap the vision, right? To say, oh, well, you know, that's not going to happen because look at the circumstances. But we really, in times like this, more so than ever, have to have a sense of what is it that I'm striving for? I'm getting up every day and, you know, making the commute downstairs in order to achieve what? And if it's, you know, you having to sit down and re-identify that in your new normal because you are acknowledging where you are, I think that's the first step, you know? And so for me, again, like that transition for me, I'm not exempt from that either. For example, we were planning to have our first leadership conference here in Nashville, the end of May, super excited. Two keynotes we had, one, Minda Hartz, the author of The Memo. She was planning to come here, be here on May 30th for our opening keynote. And then Drew Nguyen, who better known as Brand with Drew, he's one of the co-founders of BYOB. He was coming here to do a keynote as well. And all of that is like, oh boy, it's probably not happening May 29th and 30th. So, you know, for me as a leader, I have to sit down and say, okay, like that was what we were going to have. What does this, because we're acknowledging where we are right now, what does this look like now? What is the vision for this now? And after I've done that, going back, like I have a team call tonight and saying, okay, how do we get here? Who do we need that may not be on the team yet? How can we partner with other organizations that have, you know, similar vision, similar mission, that may want to be a part of this to expand the effort in our new normal? But I think we've got to recognize and acknowledge that it is a new normal. We're not trying to get back to where we were. And I quite frankly don't think that we will be back to where we were post COVID-19. I know that's another conversation, but again, I think it's this acknowledgement of like, resilience isn't about bouncing back. We're not trying to bounce back. like this has created a new and deeper revelation of who we are, what's actually necessary, what our actual purpose and priorities really are. And through this new knowledge, we need to figure out how do we carry this forward.
Wow. What's something fun that you're doing now that maybe you didn't have time for before?
Ooh, something fun that I'm doing now that I have not had time for. Well, two things come to mind. One, I'm launching a podcast.
Podcast, woo-hoo-hoo.
Yes, so we are about, I think we're up to 5 episodes, which was kind of my threshold for launching. I'm like, I want to get 5 recorded and then put it out there. So working on that. And then the other is this course. So I launched actually just yesterday, the Do the Work course. And I'm super excited about that. It is an introspective and really intentional approach to really helping people identify their sweet spot. So I'm excited about launching that. It goes live on the 7th. So yeah, those are two things that have been, you know, and you know how it is, like it's on your list to do. You've been, you know, thinking about it for, you know, for me, it's been a year, a little over a year for both of those things. But it's like, oh, you know, other things get in the way, other priorities come up and they get pushed to the bottom of the list. So now I'm like, I have no excuse to get these things done. So I'm excited about those.
That's how you know that you're passionate about something. Because I totally expected you to say like, riding a bike, playing a card game, You're like, no.
You're like, that's work, Brittany. That's not fun. But it is fun.
But that's what I mean. That's how I know that you're truly passionate, because you got giddy. Like, there was like a giddiness in your voice. And it just goes to show you, like, you know, I think I saw like what productivity means. It means different things for different people, right? So like, someone else may look at something as like work and like, oh, I gotta get and go and do this work. And you're like, oh my God, I get to do this. I think it's, you know, it's something that, and it highlights passion, right? Because it's something that I know we have posted at my church, like when it comes to like volunteering and raising your hand for things. And it's like, reframing your perspective and saying like, I get to do this, instead of saying like, I have to do this. It's like, oh my God, I get to do this. I get to serve people. I get to like, and for you, it's like, oh my God, I get to like help people thrive in their careers. Oh my God, I get to help people like find their purpose and their passion. Like, I feel like that's you.
Yes. When I say I love it, I don't feel like that is expressive enough. It really, truly brings me a lot of joy. So yes, those are the two new things. I don't know that, you know what? I feel, I'm like, I'm really having to think now. What new thing have I, okay. So I guess one like non-work related new thing that is also fun. I've been talking about personal training for a while. So I'm actually doing, I guess it took me being at home, but I signed up for virtual personal training. So I have a Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. workout. Earlier this week, I traded my gallon water jugs for actual dumbbells. So I am making progress with my my resources and my equipment here at the house. So yeah, that's another new thing that's been
a new. So wait, let's clarify, are you teaching the class or are you taking the class? Because I wouldn't put it past you.
Listen, I am totally taking the class, okay? Shout out to 80/20 Fitness. It's a husband and wife couple. They have a gym here in East Nashville, and their whole premise is just like it sounds. Fitness is 80% nutrition, 20% actually exercise. And so they have a great program to really help. And actually it's very specific to entrepreneurs, recognizing that you can just work around the clock and never be active with this startup life. And they've created some really intentional programming around helping to make sure that you are prioritizing your wellness. So it's super cool. Yeah, I'm totally taking the class.
Well, and on that note about prioritizing wellness, I just want to thank you, Brittany, for being here with us, for just sharing so transparently and vulnerably about where you know, your journey over the last few years. I know it's going to bless so many women and men out there who are looking to thrive, right? And not just survive this life that we've been given. So thank you.
Yes. Thank you for having me.
Thanks again to Brittany for joining us to discuss how we care for our purpose and calling, even in the midst of setbacks and loss. When I think of Brittany's story, I can't help but to think of the story of Joseph in the Bible. Joseph, the dreamer, who endured setback after setback, including the loss of his mother Rachel, the loss of his job working in Potiphar's house, and he was even sent to jail. But it was his time in jail that taught him how to care for the dreams of others. The cupbearer and the baker both came to him, which led him to interpret the dreams of Pharaoh. I don't know where you are today, if you've lost your job, endured a series of losses, or if you've stopped dreaming because the future seems hopeless. But remember, we serve the same God who used Joseph. He took him from the pit to the jail to the palace. And God used him to interpret the dreams of others while also fulfilling Joseph's own dream and calling. So I have no doubt that he will use the setbacks and losses in your life to help do the same. As Brittany said, there's no going back to normal. There's no going back to the way things used to be before this happened or that happened in your life. But there is a way forward, and we can learn to thrive in this new place.